Anybody else want to jump in? You can. I'm going to just get this while I'm going. Why does it start off in Genesis? Genesis, the first day, it starts off by saying evening and the morning.
God was created in the evening. Well, we really was created in life. I'm trying to get it together. What I'm trying to say.
Okay, Isaiah 46:10 is what I'm looking at.
Okay, now we're fine.
That's what I'm looking for. It was 46. Read it out loud.
I was thinking.
Oh, read it out loud.
46:10.
That's right. That's read it out loud. What did it say?
Declaring the end from the beginning and from the ancient times, the things are not yet done. Uh-huh. Saying, my counsel shall stand, mm-hmm. and I will do all my pleasure.
Do it. Say it again. Read it again, Drew.
Yeah, I like
it. Read it again.
Declaring the end from the beginning.
Say it again. There ain't nobody heard you. Say it again.
Declaring the end from the beginning. And right. From the ancient times, the things.
Say that one more time. Do you hear God when he said this?
Declaring the end from the beginning.
Declare means I'm making a foundational statement that cannot be moved.
Everything is settled.
I make a declare. When God declares something different from when we declare something, when we declare something, it can change because of the aspect of the situation. Uh-huh. What God is saying is the statement that I make cannot be changed because it makes things.
Okay.
I create.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, you understand what I'm saying? So I declare, declaring the end.
That's it.
From the beginning.
Think about your life. And read that statement.
Oh, I see.
Think about your life and read that statement.
It's already settled.
He's declaring the end from the beginning.
Come on here.
So he declared that it was done.
Read it one more time.
That's it.
Okay, declaring the end from the beginning.
You worried about that.
But God already see the end.
That's right. I'm declaring the end at the beginning.
So he's declaring that it's already done, in other words.
So what did he say in the book of Revelations? I am Alpha and Omega.
That's
the beginning. The beginning and the end.
Now, is the beginning and the end like this? Or is the beginning and the end like this?
Second. I'm trying to time all things are now.
That's it.
So.
You get that? See, sometimes we think beginning and the end. We think, excuse me, Junior.
No, you're fine.
We think beginning and the end is just like this.
Come on, man. Everything revolves around
it.
I like that.
So we think. See, this is what we think things work on a timeline like this. But when he says I'm Alpha and Omega, it's like this. Meaning that I'm touching the beginning and the end.
That's it.
The beginning and the end is with me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's not. That's why
it ain't this way. It's this way.
That's it.
You understand what I'm saying? It's like a ring. It's like a covenant.
That's it.
It's like a diamond that sits on top of it. I'm touching both. I can declare both because I'm touching both. I am both. You understand what I'm saying? So I'm declaring it in the beginning. So when the Bible talks about the first day, it says, and the evening and the morning were the first day, you see it almost opposite. He's saying the evening, which is the end of the day, and the morning, which is the beginning of the day, it's like this with God.
Okay.
And God said, these two are the same with me. Because I don't have to wait to the turnout. I done declared the turnout. I done make a decant statement about both of them. So the thing about it is, for God is, when it talks about the evening and the morning, it's exactly what you were saying when you were saying it. That's how God looks at things from the evening and the morning. That's how the Jews still do their days.
Okay.
For them, their day begins at the setting of the sun.
Gotcha.
and it ends at the rising of the sun. Are you hear me? Are y'all with me? So when Moses talked about this thing about evening and morning were the first day, it is set in a Jewish Old Testament saying of that when the sun started to go down, that was the beginning. Come on here. Y'all with me? In the East, that's how it was. That was the beginning of it. And that sounds contrary and crazy to us. But when the sun went down, that was the beginning. And when it came up, that was the end. You understand what I'm saying here? That's why Moses got up. Each day that Moses got up, don't ask me how we got here. But each day that he got up, the first day, the second day, the third day, the fourth day, the fifth day, the sixth day, each day that he got up, he saw what? An evening and a morning. See, that's what y'all don't realize. And I can show you that in the book of Exodus. I can show you that in the book of Exodus, that he went up in the mountain in the cloud with God. He went up in that mountain with God, and Moses actually didn't descend to the top yet. He actually just went about just a little ways up. And the Bible talks about him being in the glory of God for those 6 days. Okay? He was in the glory of God for 6 days. He was in the glory of God. Each day that he woke up, Harry, he saw our glory. Okay. See, remember when, and we'll look at this next week. We'll make this one of our studies next week. I'm just telling you this week. But remember when he went up and he said, Lord, I want to see your glory. Mm-hmm. And remember when Moses asked that? The Lord said, well, I'll show you my glory. Mm-hmm. But he said, no man can see me and live. Mm-hmm. He's still thinking that God is a man. No man can see him, period. Nobody has ever seen God. No man can see him, literally. No man can see him, period. Mm-hmm. So the thing about it is, he told Moses, he said, well, I'll put you in the cliff of the rock that was inside the mountain. I'll put you in the cliff of the rock, and I'm going to pass by you. And I'm going to put my hand up over you. And when I pass by, you're going to be able to see my hinder parts. Okay? All the people shout, oh, hallelujah, you saw the back of God's hand. I want to get in that glory where I see the back of his head like that. But God's not a man, so he don't have the back of his head. He don't have the behind parts.
Okay.
Like you and I have behind parts. If Harry put his hand up in front of me and walked past me and I look back, I can see the back part of him. And that's what most of the church people think when they read that scripture, because a lot of us don't have a whole lot of wisdom. We don't have a whole lot of people teaching us anything. But God's not a man, he's a spirit. God's a spirit. They that worship. So a spirit don't have hinder parts. So you can't see the back of God's head. Because God ain't got a back or a front. Mm-hmm. You know? It's personification for these things. Yeah. So the thing about it is, God said, I'm gonna put my hand in front of you. And he said, when I pass by, you're gonna see my hinder parts. And he says, I'm gonna cause all my goodnesses to pass before you. And what he said, right? Scripture. So what happened is, what are God's goodnesses? What are God's goodnesses? What is his hinder parts? If it's not a man like we have man, what is his hinder parts? He saw him, he took him to the beginning of the universe.
Yeah, he saw the end.
He took Moses to the hinder parts of God, which is the universe before it was created. That's why that day, come on here, we'll stretch it a little bit. When Moses was in this cloud here, the first day and all the goodnesses that God, I'm going to show you that God showed past him. When Moses was up in that cloud, Grace, what happened is God put his hand up and passed by him, meaning that God just covered him. That's all it means. God don't have a hand like that. God just covered him. When he got up, it was pitch black. Moses was suspended in nothingness.
Okay.
Because God took him by vision to the beginning of the world.
Yeah.
And there was nothing there.
Nothing. So he said.
So he could have gotten up, started just screaming, because there was nothing to see.
Okay.
And you hear this old white haired man sitting here with his robe and everything on, and there's not even a wind nor sound. There's nothing there because God has yet to create anything.
All right.
So he's just sitting there in nothingness, mm-hmm. suspended in nothingness. And he must have been screaming, it must have been a terrifying feeling for him. And then out of nothing, he hears a voice. And out of nothing, light just shoots throughout nothingness and starts creating the universe. And he heard this, as he heard this, let there be light. And after the end, when he got up off of that glory or out of that perspective, it took a whole 24-hour period for Moses to see it, not for God to create it. And when Moses get up, he would say in the evening and the morning were the first day. Because after everything that God did, he would look back and say it was good. He looked back on this and said it was good. He looked back at this and said it was good. He looked back and said it's good. Remember what he told Moses up in the mountain? I'm going to call all my goodnesses. What goodnesses? My six goodnesses for every day. You're going to see the universe from behind.
God. That's, man, I never seen
created.
That. Wow. I ain't never heard nobody break that down like that, man.
It doesn't take God 6 days to do anything. But it does take Moses 6 days to see it. That's why the Bible talks about there being no other prophet like it unto Moses, a man who knew God face to face. Other than Adam, Moses was only the other man there to see it from the beginning.
Wow.
Moses was there when he created man. He was there to see the first animals before Adam could even name them, or there was even an Adam. Moses was there in the mountain in those 6 days. And the Bible says on the seventh day in the book of Exodus, on the seventh day, God called him up through the cloud. So therefore he suspended time and went up in the seventh day of God where there is no evening or morning. And he saw God at rest. Moses saw the stars as they were aligned.
Glad I'm recording this.
He saw the water when they first appeared.
I know that's right. Yeah, I need a copy.
But we'll get more to it later on. That's for another time. Wow. That's his goodnesses. That's his hinder part.
Man, that is something.
I don't need 6 days. 6 days of creation. He worked hard, and on that seventh day, he laid away. But notice on the seventh day, the reason why you don't have an evening or morning is because Moses now is going through the cloud, and there is no days here. Now he says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times the things not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand and I do all my pleasures. Come on here. Y'all kind of quiet up in here.
Soaking in, baby. Soaking
good reason to be quiet, brother.
That's why the Bible talks about there's never been another one like it unto Moses. Moses was the only one besides any other person that was there in the very beginning. He knew God like no other. He was there from the start.
So was it like a vision that he... That he
that's right. Was it a that's right. That he that's and we don't know the intricate details of what God done. But we know the pattern of what he done. But that's why there's such confusion about these 6 days of creation. But the 6 days of creation are not really 6 days of creation.
Like man thinking.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
like Bible scholars think now. But that's what happens when you have information and not revelation.
Okay.
That's what happens. Whom the men say that I am. Men is one thing what man says, another thing what God gives from heaven. You understand what I'm saying? Come on, y'all quiet up in here. Do we need to leave on this phone, this note? It's 8:30. Y'all look like y'all still on the mountaintop. Come on, jump in here. But now you see the pattern here, this evening and morning, mm-hmm. evening and morning, the reason why we have it. And it's also a small revelation within itself each day that God has set the course, that it ends before it begins. Mm-hmm. It takes the worry out of things. It takes the frustration out of things. Oh, you understand what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. One of the remarkable things about us is I'm finding in the remnant, that I find with the remnant of the church, that even when I was there a lot, what the difficult thing is, somehow we believe that it all rests on us. I don't know who gave us that concept.
Yeah.
Because for some reason we think God didn't have nobody before we came along.
We act like
he just started yesterday.
Like,
he
do this and
yeah.
Do that if
yeah.
you don't have me to do
yeah.
this.
It's remarkable how much we put on ourselves that we think God can't get it done without us. Some reason he just ain't going to get it done without. He don't know what he's doing. I mean, you know, this concept that we praise him and worship him from being God on the other end, but we worship him like a man on the other end. It's almost remarkable. If he don't get this thing, you know, right, just somehow it's going to fall apart. And God don't know what to do if you mess up. Somehow he don't have
and
enough
he don't
in
do
his
it
Rolodex,
you think
you know?
Do it.
Yeah. Somehow it just ain't going to get done. It's just we're worried to death about it. We so worried.
They just know God.
Yeah, we
ain't
been here.
They got him in a little box. And they know mm-hmm. every move he makes and what he going to do if you don't do this.
That's all. Because imagine who you are in the realm of all the scope of eternity. Now, if this whole board is eternity, if this whole board is eternity,
you
we can put eternity on this board.
You can't draw a dot that small. I'm telling you.
If eternity is this whole board, you just can't. Ain't nothing you can put up.
I told you.
Ain't nothing you can put up.
Yeah, that.
Small little net.
That's something.
And that's it. Let's just say you live, if that's you, and you live 2 billion years old. That wouldn't be nothing to eternity. It wouldn't even be 2 minutes. If that were 50 billion, that dot doesn't even represent eternity. So you don't have a clue what God was doing before you. You don't know how many earths he done created, how many times he's thought. You don't know nothing. So it would do us good just to shut up.
It would do us good just to be happy and just let God do what he's going to do. Listen.
I can barely even see that dot from here.
That's
right. We don't have a concept.
Look at it so
hard to go. Martha, Martha, thou art comfort about what? Many things. You're distracted. You're disturbed. You're put off because you want me to deal with your sister. But he said, I won't take away from her that good part. She's chosen a good part. She's chosen to start and begin at my feet. And if I start at the feet, this is where I'm going to go to. This is where I want to start at the beginning. See, if you start off at the feet, then you have room to grow to the head. To know the mind of God starts at the feet. And then it gives rise. It sure do. It starts off at the feet. Now, you don't believe me, do you? But we can back it up. Everything we talk about, we can back up. I'm gonna show you it starts off at his feet. Talk about it. Talk about it. Y'all still in the moment here. Still thinking about old Moses there. Revelations 1 and 17. I'm going to just read it to you. You don't have to go there. You can just write it down. He says, and I saw him. John talking about Jesus. He says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, fear not, for I am the first and the last. This is powerful. When he saw him, he fell at his feet. Now, Revelation 19:10, and I fell at his feet and worshiped him. And he said unto me, see that I do it now, I'm thy fellow servant. That's when he was talking to the angel. But when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And Jesus laid his right hand upon him, which is the hand of power. And that's what gives rise. See, first you got to fall down dead. You got to die to you.
Yeah.
And then he will give you power to arise. And that way, when you fall dead down at his feet, you're not arising or coming in your own strength.
That's right.
And that's what real glory does. It saps the power out of you. And you fall dead to yourself. And then he will lay his right hand upon you and give you power. And out of that, you can begin to you can begin to have the outflow of his life. You understand what I'm saying here? But you can't come in your own strength and in your own power about what you're going to do to him. And that's what this thing is about. See, when you start at his feet, you have room to grow to his head. You have room to be empowered by him. She heard his words. My sheep know my voice, and a stranger they will not follow. You understand what I'm saying? Cain killed Abel was over the order of worship. He was mad because God accepted his sacrifice. Bible talked about they had a heated argument, right? And the Bible said that Cain rose up and slew his brother Abel. You know, we don't know before then they could have got along. Most of us do get along until it comes down to worship sometimes. Most churches get along until it comes down to the, you know, a difference of opinion about what God might accept and what he don't accept. And then we find out what's truly in you. Because maybe when God didn't accept the sacrifice from the ground, the murderer was already there and just hadn't manifested.
Oh my goodness.
You see what I'm saying? Maybe God saw something that we didn't see. Maybe because it just looked good. Come on here.
That's right.
Come on here. Just because it looked good don't mean it was good. Just because he came with the right heart doesn't mean that his heart had really been dealt with. Y'all quiet up in here. And we'll find out whether you really will worship or not is how you're going to treat your brother.
That's it.
By this may men know that you're my disciples, that you have love to one another. Now we find out that his sacrifice was on the premises of not so much being accepted because what? He in turn murdered his brother. Y'all quiet up
here. That goes to show you that some people may come to God for the wrong reasons.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I'm saying. And many times that's manifested in their actions. Mm-hmm. Like they, I remember like with Cain. You know, and also what you were saying earlier was so powerful. You know, us first being willing to fall to his feet. You know, because like you said, that's a representation of death. That's a representation of losing ourselves so that we can gain him. And also I feel like, you know, that's one thing that we must learn is that true, I think I told you this before, true ministry can only begin when I am no longer. There's no more me. It's just him.
That's right.
You're talking and people no longer see you, but they see the Christ in you. That's when true ministry can begin. It says that I am the true light that lighteth every man that come into the world. That light is what is showing forth. Come on, that's man. When lives can be changed. Come on, man. That's when people can be transformed.
That's right.
That's when that true ministry can begin. But in order to truly get there, you must be at rest. You must be at rest. You know what I'm saying? And it's powerful.
That's so powerful.
Order to be endued with power.
And it have to flow out of you. I mean, you know, the spirit, it have to have its free course to flow out of you. It's nothing that you can sort of try to build yourself up to be, or, you know, to be high in Christ or whatever. It's no more you knowing, like you're saying, it's all about him. It's what he's doing. And your hands is out of it.
And when it's all Christ, when it's all God, like you were saying, what he wants to do is able to be done. Yeah. You know, kind of what hinders us now is that sometimes when Christ may say something or God may say something, ourselves get in the way.
Yes.
Therefore, what he wants to do never gets accomplished because we haven't truly died to self yet. You know, and that goes back to what you were talking about, what Paul was saying, circumcision, the circumcision of the heart. Truly what a circumcision is, it's the cutting around the flesh.
That's right, that's
maybe
right.
Maybe that's what God is trying to do. He's trying to cut our flesh, our carnal ways, our carnal desires, so that he can truly be manifested. You know what I'm saying? So like that's poor manifest.
It is poor.
I'm trying to keep quiet here. I'm trying to hear. I'm trying to get something myself. Come on here. You want to see something? Granddaddy?
Amazing, man. That's this.
Where y'all quiet? Come on here.
Nah, I mean, I just look at it. I definitely understand, man. It's powerful, man. And it's so big at the same time that I try to look at it in all aspects. I just look at it, man. It's big, man.
Yeah.
Because, like, man, I don't even know how I want to word it up, but.
See how you can say it?
I just look at it, man, to know who you are, you know, where you've been, the son, man, and just like I hear him saying, man, just, it's powerful, man. I just look at it, you know.
Definitely feel like, man, that's why tribulation may be so vital and so imperative.
Yeah.
Because maybe in order to truly get yourself out of the way, I may have to take you through this. Yeah. Maybe only with this trial will you be perfected. Just like a gem or a diamond. You know, you know, in order to truly get it in a perfected state, it has to be purged.
That's right.
It has to go through.
That's right.
And that's the difference. I feel like when you know that you're a true son of God, because the difference between a diamond and a pipe is that pipes bust under pressure. Diamonds are made under pressure.
That's right.
Therefore, children of God are truly made under pressure. We're made. Therefore, we are perfected. That's how self gets out of the way.
That's right.
It's when that purging.
That's right.
That's why I feel like, man, sometimes we don't need to shy away from the test. We don't need to shy away from the trial. Because maybe the trial is just what you need to get you where you need to be.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
A lot of Book of Romans talks about tribulation, like we talked about before. Tribulation worketh patience.
Worketh patience.
Patience worketh the spirit.
That's right.
Experience worketh hope.
Come on here.
So therefore, is it truly saying that none of that could be obtained
Come on.
Without the tribulation?
Come on here. That's right.
Got to have it, yeah.
Got to go through.
Got to go through.
That's right.
Paul was a good example. Mm. You know how he suffered and how he just put Christ first.
Yeah.
I mean, he counted all joy, everything, whatever.
Light in mind.
That's right.
You
looked at it as something, you know.
Yeah. And it shows us, I look at it, it also shows the purity of who we are by being the Son of God, you know. Like I was stumbling to say. And like, you know, I'm glad he said what he said or whatnot, because it came back, you know. Like he was talking about the diamond, I can also compare it to gold. Mm-hmm. And by you heating up gold and it melt down, it lose no value. And that gold, it is still gold. Mm-hmm. And that's when we are going through different things and trial and tribulation, the heat, the fire.
I like where you're going with this.
You feel what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The purity of that gold, of who we are, the Son of God. We lose no value. You feel what I'm saying?
So you saying when God took on human flesh, he lost no value.
Come on.
Here. Come on now. Come on.
That's right.
Thank you, God.
Yeah.
Thank you, man. Like the furniture of the tabernacle, it was gold overlaid. Not intertwined or mixed, but overlaid. Meaning that in between the wood, the acacia wood, was the gold. It was wood. And that speaking of that humanity.
That's it.
But at the same time, that divinity there. And the thing about it is, you got, and the powerful thing is some don't know where one starts and the other begins. You understand what I'm saying here? That's the powerful thing about Christ is that, you know, he could eat food with him, but yet he could go out and speak to the wind. And they couldn't figure the twin between the two. So they said, what manner of man is this that could speak to the winds and even it obey? On one instance, he was gold. On the other instance, he was wood. You couldn't tell the difference between the two, where they end and begin. And that's the power thing about it. And it's powerful when it comes to that aspect.
Yes.
You know? And it's powerful when he talks about the fire and the gold. Because the mystery to me on the other perspective is, who has God ordained to be our fire?
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
See, while we think about being purified, who has he sent to purify?
Come on.
Huh?
That's it.
Who becomes the irritation to make the pearl?
Jesus.
Huh?
That's how you
Come on here. Who's your Pharaoh? Who was raised by God to put you in bondage and in affliction that you might grow stronger? Because the Bible said the more they afflicted them,
stronger.
Come on here.
Come on.
Huh? Who's your Pharaoh? Who was raised by God to be in your midst, to be your thorn, that you might be made?
That's what I'm just saying. We call him
Amen. Huh? Who's your blacksmith? Who is God sent to beat on the gold or on the instrument that it might be purified?
That's it.
And now, in the Old Testament, when those instruments, they back in the Book of Kings, in those early parts, he said they was put not only through the fire, but also through the waters of separation. So sometimes the tribulation is going to separate things, going to separate people, going to separate places. You understand what I'm saying here? And you're going to have separate minds. It's the type of baptism that you go through that's in the trial and tribulation. But then he used to say this one thing. God told them, what can't take the fire, you still put it through the water. So you're supposed to go through the water, the fire and the water. And what can't take the fire, come on here, at least got to go through the waters, or what they call the waters of separation or purification, where they actually purifies the instruments that are going to be used by Israel. So sometimes I think about that. I think about, well, what people, places, things have God sent to make and mold me?
That's it.
We think in one way. We think in a common way.
Yeah, that's it.
Because my best sermon preached is to me. Mm. Oh, God, I know that hits heavy in the room. Come on here.
Come on now.
That best sermon preached is to me. I'm talking about Carlos. My best sermon preached is to me. My greatest ministry is to me. And if I can't hear me, who do I expect to hear me? If I can't hear my own words, oh my God, it's quiet. Woo! Huh?
That's so powerful, man.
Yeah, definitely.
Because before you can ever expect a change on the outward, it must first occur inward.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
Yeah, that's...
That's right.
Mm.
Yeah, that's right. See, we're running to tell a message that we haven't yet heard.
That is right.
Wow.
It hasn't even yet come alive in us yet. It's just like that. What we say when we first got in here.
Yeah.
We ready to serve the meal before the food is cooked. He hungry. I got to hurry up and get him something.
Give it
he hungry. He hungry. But what is the God going to give him? He's going to give him you.
That's it.
And you ready to jump out of the pot before he's cooked you good.
Come on now.
That's it. 15 minutes.
We want the microwave and not the oven.
That's it.
Come on here. We want a fast food, come on here, instead of a home-cooked meal.
That's
a big difference.
Big difference.
Yeah.
It's a big difference, ain't it? Because a good home-cooked meal takes what? Time. And it's going to do so much better for you, ain't it?
That's it. Another scripture actually ties down what you were saying. My pops were talking about it. It's actually dwelling on.
Doesn't the potter has power over the clay, you know?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's the thing, you know. He can make and mold that thing to become whatever it's going to be, you know. He can flatten it up, he can start back over, but he can be able to mold it up, you know, how it wants to, you know, how it is.
That's right.
And that's powerful.
Yeah. That's right.
And that molding actually in itself is symbolic of trials and tribulations.
That's it. That's
tribulation.
I'm going to mold you this way. I'm going to mold you that way.
That's right.
And once I finish, you're going to be perfected.
You're going to be perfected.
That's it.
You know what I'm saying?
That's right.
And one thing.
Right. And that's the power of it. Who's the wheel? Who is God's hand in your life? Who has God manifested at his hands in your life to make and mold you?
That's it.
And by resisting them, are you resisting the pot?
That's it.
Why have you made me this way? Why have you put me in this situation? Why? And only teenagers ask why, right?
Yeah.
Only teenagers ask, a bit rebellious children ask why? And what's always the parent element? Because I said so. Because he said so.
That's so.
Ooh, let's get out of here. It's a wrap.
That's powerful, man.
Yeah. That's good, man.
I'm surprised ain't nobody called in.
That's
now.
That's a guy.
Good night. Good night.
Oh.
And Fred Price say we are out of time.
Out of time.
Fred Price, raise that head. We're out of time. Let's go.